This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our next story takes a look at the PKR party elections with Anwar Ibrahim, seen to be having a clear path to the party presidency.
Yep, that's right. And of course, there's Rafizi Ramli, who said that he'll be vying for the PKR deputy president's post in the upcoming party election. I think he's currently PKR vice president, right?
He is.
I think the idea is that he'll face Datuk Sri Azmin Ali if at all. Azmin defends the deputy presidency.
Before you finish that sentence, I believe when every time you read that, it has to be followed with the jang, jang, jang.
The economic affairs minister. He's yet to confirm, though, whether or not he will defend the deputy presidency.
Correct. It's an interesting fight. Oh, actually, there should be a distinction. You know, for most of us, we often think deputy president, vice president, same thing, right?
No.
There's a big structure, right? It's like being in the corporate world almost, where there are like senior vice presidents and vice presidents. So there's president, deputy, and then vice presidents, right? So Rafizi is actually going one step up.
Right.
These days.
All these different levels, hierarchy and that.
Yeah. And this one's a little, it's interesting because I guess the general idea or belief or gossip is that, you know, Rafizi is an Anwar guy, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, there's been a lot of talk of late. I guess, I don't know if you want to call it gossip, but there's been a lot of talk of late about two camps in PKR. And there's an Anwar camp and an Azmin camp. And, you know, with Rafizi saying I'm directly challenging Azmin Ali, it actually feels like a proxy war between Anwar and Azmin. So, you know, Sunday's nominations, but this party election is going to be something very, very interesting to watch, especially since they're actually in power now. But to take a look at Anwar himself, you know, of course, he is assumed to be a shoo-in for the PKR presidency. And, you know, that further paves the way for him to eventually succeed Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad as prime minister. Now, to discuss the prospects of that, along with what to expect for this election, we're going to cross over to Ben Sofian, program director at Polster Merdeka Centre. Ben, it's always good having you on the show with us. Now, PKR Party President Datuk Sri Wan Azizah has long been regarded as a seat warmer, despite her saying numerous times that she isn't. But what happens when she does relinquish this post for her husband? Does she give up her pandan seat as well? Will she quietly disappear from the political scene?
Well, I think, you know, this talk about the introduction of Anwar Ibrahim back into the PKR party election race is all made very interesting now that PKR is part of the ruling coalition and that this position means a lot because it also carries with it senior positions in the new government. And I think how Anwar plays into that is because Pakatan Harapan made a promise with a pledge to have Anwar become prime minister after a couple of years of winning power. And I think Anwar's possible entry into the PKR race is in preparation of that. So I think if Anwar Ibrahim does contest in the party election process as the president, I think it represents a first of a few steps that needs to take place. As it stands, you know, he is the de facto head. A somewhat ambiguous position because it is not really mentioned in the party's constitution. So I think if he does contest and wins the position of party president, then he becomes party president. That Datuk Sri Wan Azizah will not be party president, but we presume that she will still be in government in cabinet for the foreseeable future until the point in time that it arrives for the transfer of power between Dr. Mahathir and Anwar transpires.
Right, I guess, and when that happens, it's kind of like that, you know, the House of Cards, you know, where Frank Underwood and his wife Claire are both US President and Vice President, respectively. In the Malaysian version, it would be Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim as Prime Minister, his wife remains as Deputy. But how do you think that scenario would sit with Malaysians?
That probably wouldn't sit quite well with many Malaysians because I think people wanted reform and people wanted to do away with this notion of favoritism, nepotism, and also this kind of you help me, I help you type of culture that was the hallmark of the previous administration. So I think what will have to happen in the intervening years of, let's say, Anwar becoming party president and eventually becoming a prime minister. We'll have to see Dr. Wan Azizah step back from politics, and then somebody else fills in the role before the transfer of power actually takes place. So it's unlikely that, you know, the people in the government would want to have the optics of, you know, husband and wife in the same cabinet holding the top two positions in the country at the same time. So I think there will have to be some careful choreography done in order to maintain public confidence in the process, and that it is not seen to be centered just on the needs or the aspirations of one person.
Still keeping it within the family, what of Permatang Power MP Nurul Izzah then? Once her father becomes party president and eventually prime minister, will we see more or less of her in politics?
Well, I think, you know, the incoming leadership in the future will have to be mindful of the perceptions that having same family members, immediate family members in the cabinet, what that implies. I think they will do their best to avoid that. As things currently stand, she's already an MP, and her mother is a party president, deputy PM, and she's not made part of the cabinet, and I think there's a reason for that, despite her fairly senior position in the party, that is to avoid all the insinuations of keeping it too close to the family. So I think they will be mindful about that, because the electorate that voted in Pakatan Harapan in 2018 did not change from Barisan Nasional to the new coalition to end up having the same kind of setup. I think they're looking for reforms, they're looking for a people-centered government, a democratic government, and the new people in power will have to be mindful of that, that as easily as they have chucked out Barisan Nasional, they could do the same thing to Pakatan Harapan if it displeases the electorate.
So let's go back to PKR's upcoming election. How likely is it for the Deputy President, Dato' Sri Azmin Ali, to run for the party president's seat against Anwar?
I think it's very unlikely. Looking at the history of PKR and the principal personalities that have been with the party for the last, you know, 18, 20 years, you know, Azmin Ali is an integral part of the party, a very loyal lieutenant of Anwar Ibrahim. They have, you know, widely known differences on certain issues and perspectives of doing things. The differences are not a secret. But I think when push comes to shove, Azmin is loyal to Anwar. He is there partly because of the sacrifices made by Anwar, and I think he will be a loyal deputy president. I don't think he will challenge Anwar for the party post.
And what about the deputy president post, Ben? Rafizi Ramli has thrown his hat into the ring. What are his chances of getting that seat between Dato' Sri Azmin Ali and Rafizi Ramli? Who do you think will who do you reckon will most likely win the post?
Well, I think the landscape in terms of the party membership of PKR has substantially changed in the wake of the May 9th general election. And the reason is because there's a large number of new people that have registered to become party members. The media has reported more than 300,000 people have signed up online to become PKR members, and these people are apparently eligible to participate in the party's election contest. So given that there's this large influx of new members, and no doubt I think it's canvassed by the sentiment arising from the Pakatan Harapan's victory in the general election, I think this will substantially change the makeup of the average PKR supporter. So going to your question, I think Rafizi Ramli does have some chance of actually doing quite well in this party contest. Although we do know that party sentiments or sentiments of party members tend to be very different than that of the average public. But we know that he is quite a popular leader in the political circles and no doubt has some followers that he can bring to bear and make an impact in this party election.
You know, there's still no word on whether Azmin will defend his post or not. Why do you think he's not been able to give a clear answer?
Well, I think there's still a few days left before the nominations have to be finalized or nominations have to be filed in. And I think very soon we will know what his intentions will be. But I think the widespread speculation is that he will defend his deputy president's post and basically go head-to-head against Rafizi Ramli.
And out of the two, who do you think will come out on top?
Hard to say, but I think Azmin Ali has a distinct advantage, partly because he has been the leader in PKR since it was formed. He's been, you know, part and parcel of the PKR leadership circle from day one in 1998. And since then has risen up the ranks of the party and proven to be a strong administrator in Selangor and has been given an important task in the newly formed federal cabinet. So he does have his strong merits, which I think people for the most part recognize that, and he seems to be leadership material for the future. So I think he has a pretty good chance of retaining his position as deputy president of the party.
Okay, so back to, I guess, Anwar becoming prime minister eventually. Do you foresee any hiccups there? Because, you know, Tun Mahathir has already said that he might step down, you know, perhaps under the two-year time frame. And the former foes have shown a united front, right, in their support for one another.
I think there will be issues and tensions between the two men. I mean, this has been fairly widely spoken of in the political circles of the country since May 9th. And I think both men would want to keep the tensions low so that they can focus on governing and the other to be focused on waiting and making sure that the chances do not slip by again. But having said that, 2 years is a very long time and a lot of things can happen in the intervening period. My speculation is that given that the transfer of power is part and parcel of the promise made by DH to the public, it has to be fulfilled. If it is not fulfilled, it is going to create very severe tensions leading to cracks in the coalition. And it will lead to instability, not just in the political system, but also in the country. So I think, you know, they have to abide by what they have promised. And the failure to do so will cause a loss of goodwill, not just within the coalition partners, but also with the voting public.
All right. Well, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see what happens in a couple of years then. Thank you very much, Ben. That was Ben Sofian, Program Director with the Merdeka Center. His thoughts on the dynamics within the PKR party as they head for their party elections in August. We've got some messages coming your way and then more music on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.